before we get in the program, Holly, it's time for this week's joke of the week.
So, you know, I used to own a wheelbarrow and it was full of four-leaf clovers. But then I realized I really shouldn't push my luck.
There you go.
Ba-dum-bum.
This week's joke is brought to you by Rescue.com.
American-made rescue products keep your family home and yard protected from pests, insects like wasps, hornets, yellow jackets, flies, ants, more. Learn more at Rescue.com. That's R-E-S-C-U-E.com.
So we have all experienced some type of difficulty in the garden with something eating our the plants that we're growing, whether they're edible plants that we're trying to grow or ornamental. They're always something trying to nibble on them, even in the greenhouse, if you really look at like aphids, that type of thing, and moths and all this other stuff. So there's some different techniques in which we can advise that would not necessarily completely eliminate, but greatly reduce the impact that these animals and insects will have on your outdoor garden this year.
Absolutely. So let's talk about fencing. And depending on what kind of pests you
it's an Olympic sport, fencing.
Fencing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might have to do a short fence. You might have to do a tall fence. You might have to do both depending on where your garden is. Or maybe you have plants that that tall pests bother, like deer. Like maybe if you have a space near the edge of your lawn where deer have easy access to your garden type of thing.
Well, and a fence, when you say fence, some people will think metal barrier. But you can also take a fence and utilize it as a hedge of some sort.
Yeah, you could do like those arborvitae. However you say that. Because those are definitely tall enough to stop deer.
So, like rose bushes?
Yeah, rose bushes.
Something that has a thorn on them. But the thing with deer, and this is the big problem, that, you know, what's your problem? We got deer and we got rabbit. Deer can jump up to 8 foot vertically and over a barrier. So keep that in mind. So you would want to do a double fence in that instance.
Now, but would they do that to get into a garden?
They will, if they're hungry enough. If yeah. you've created enough barrier, then it's easier for them to go somewhere else to feed. That's what they'll do. Now, if it is a 40-acre field of corn, yeah, they're going to jump an 8-foot fence in order to get in that field of corn in order to feed. But if it's a backyard garden and your neighbors have no barricade, they're going to wander over there and feed without having, because they're going to be able to know that they can get out of that garden in an instant if they have to without having to clear a rose bush and an 8-foot fence.
What you should do is if your neighbor has fencing when they're on vacation, don't do that.
Deer Defeat is an all natural spray in which you can apply around your garden and on your plants at the at certain growth cycles in order to prevent the deer from eating your vegetation. And this will also work for rabbits and groundhogs as well. You can go to DeerDefeat.com and use coupon code RADIO, R-O-D-I-O, at checkout and save 10%.
On, R-A-D-I-O.
R-A-D-I-O.
Yeah.
And save 10% at checkout.
Not rodeo.
No.
Radio.
Radio. Radio.
Real radio.
Radio, yeah. But that will work, and we've used it, and it does work.
So aside from...
The fence will work. The fence, that's a hit and miss based on your particular situation. Your mileage will vary on this based on what environmental situations are going on.
But it works for deer, it works for rabbits.
Well, the Deer Defeat, I'm talking about the fence itself.
No, I'm talking about the fence should work for deer and rabbits.
The thing about rabbits is make sure it's under, you know, it's ground level and it's blocked. It's not like a chain link fence that has... No barrier.
You gotta use like chicken wire
right,
or something.
Right, because they will slither through those.
They're crafty.
Things, yeah. The holes in the fence.
Yeah. So just like, you know, many, many mammals, they can slip through, like, you know, like you wouldn't believe cats, mice, whatever, they can kind of shrink down, it seems like.
So, almost a crack they can slide through, especially a mouse.
Yeah.
So with other issues in your garden, and you may not have the problem with a four-legged, tall, or furry animal, it may be insects. You may have problems with things like squash vine borer moth or aphids or fill in the blank, something in that realm. Companion planting does work in that instance. It's not that you plant X plant next to Y plant and Y plant is sweeter because X plant is there. That's the misconception of what companion planting is. Companion planting is the process of utilizing two plants in the same area to benefit both plants. Example, you have black beauty zucchini, pretty susceptible to squash vine borer. Moth that lay the eggs in the larva in the stem and kills the plant. You plant dill around it or basil around it in order to mask or hide the zucchini plant, and that aroma that the herb is distributing or emitting confuses those insects that would normally attack, in this instance, the squash plant.
Yeah.
And this can be done in multiple different applications based on what you are trying to protect. You can also leave, I mean, we all want a pristine PBS, perfect magazine cover, beauty garden, no weeds. And some of you have that pristine garden because of the effort in which you put forth in it.
Right. But you can also, if you come along and you see a weed and all of these bugs, pests, whatever you want to call them, insects, are joyfully eating off of that particular weed, leave it. Because if you take it away,
where are they going
to
go?
They're going to go to your tomatoes or your squash or whatever beautiful plant you want to grow. And if the weed is giving them enough nutrients, then just let it be. It may be unsightly. It may be something that annoys you. But it's a lot better to be annoyed by a weed than something else eating your tomatoes.
What? And you can also incorporate that as a trap plant as well. A plant in which is designed or specifically you plant in order to lure the bad insects, in this instance, away from the plants in which you are trying to grow. If you have 5 or 6 or 8 pepper plants in a row and the 2 center ones are being infestated with some type of insect, some people would say, well, let's rip those peppers out so it doesn't bother the other pepper plants. But if the other pepper plants are not being affected, leave those 2 sacrificial plants alone and let the insects feed off it if they're not affecting anything else.
Another good thing is to work within your ecosystem. We do this with the tomato hornworm. So we haven't had problems with the tomato hornworm in quite some time. But what we do is we take little jars,
Tuna cans.
Tuna cans. And put them and nail them to a post, and we put bird seed in there. And what happens is that it attracts the birds to the garden, and then if there were to be a tomato hornworm, those birds will see it. They're going to have a much meatier lunch than bird seed.
Right. And also, if you do have problems with it last year, prior to planting them this year, if you've not planted them already, tomatoes, disturb that soil, disrupt it, and you may find the cocoons of the tomato hornworm.
How far down would you say?
2 to 4 inches.
Okay.
And if you see a cocoon type, it's most likely it's going to be the tomato hornworm, and you want to discard that in a however way you want to do it and get rid of it out of the garden. Dispatch it.
Dispatch.
Yeah.
I learned the word dispatch. Maybe we should cover that in the third segment.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, you want to make sure that you are being aware of your pest problems. Sometimes it's as simple as, like, I know we get a lot of questions about the potato beetle, and it seems like the best way to deal with them is by literally plucking them off the plant and dispatching them.
If you see a problem, you need to, like you said, Holly, be aware. You need to walk through the garden, look at the plants, pick a leaf up here or there, look under the squash leaf, look under the tomato leaf, see what's going on, cucumbers. Because if you see a couple of bugs, that's not a bad problem. If you have a few here or there, it's called a balanced ecosystem. It's whenever you have 1,000,000,004 in one location on one plant, and then they're migrating to other plants, and it becomes a problem where a situation where something is out of whack in your backyard.
Yeah.
To where, why do I have all of these bad bugs attacking my vegetables Where's the good bugs at? What's going on?
And I think there's something to be said about just having a couple bad bugs. If you just have a couple bad bugs, let it go. Like, obviously,
you don't need chemicals.
You don't need chemicals. If you go into your garden and you've been feeding it very high chemical content things, whatever, and you see no bugs, that's not good either. So it's good to have a balance. Like, again, like I said, it's good to work with the ecosystem. And it's good if you have a couple bad bugs. Are you going to burn your house down over a spider or a centipede? No. If you have an infestation, I wouldn't burn your house down, but maybe, you know, look into it or get a cat that would eat the centipede for you.
For those who may not be aware, on your smartphone, in the Google thing on the main page, there is a little camera. So you can select that, and then you can take a picture of a plant, a weed, a bug, and it will most times give you a very good reference to what that is, and then you can do some research once you figure out what the name of it is or the look, you know, that type of thing, the name of it, and then can start doing, well, is this good or bad? Should I be concerned with this? What can I do in order to get my guard back in check? So it's a really neat feature that technology has allowed, so we're not guessing, well, I don't know what that is. And
identification.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Identification. So if you've got a problem and you are uncertain or need a little guidance, you can certainly send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. And if you can give us an image, that would certainly help us out as well. Walton's Inc., Holly.
Yeah, listen, we know you care about where your food comes from. Canning, preserving your fruits and vegetables is great, but what about the meat? At Walton's Inc., you can get the equipment, seasoning, supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product to your way to your high standards. And then they also have meatgistics.com to help educate people on how the hows and whys of meat processing. A community of 15,000 users, decades of experience Walton's Inc. has, and they have everything from meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers, spices, all sorts of great products to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's, everything but the meat. You can use code GROW50, that's GROW50, to save 10% off your orders of $50 or more.